Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome into another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice of all things Moncton Wildcats. As always, I am your host, Adam. And as you can see, kind of upside down, I am joined by my co-hoster, Mr. Jeremy Boucher. Mr. Boucher, how are you?
Doing well, sir. My wife and I joined the gym this morning.
Nice.
So we finally got into the
which gym?
Good Life.
Oh, okay.
Hashtag not a sponsor.
We use Fit for Less, hashtag not a sponsor.
Yeah, so we we're working on our summer beach bods, and so we're hoping to be one of those fit fams, hashtag fit fams.
Nice.
That you see on the Instagram.
They got a babysitting place for Avery.
Yeah.
Is that why you picked it?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's $7 drop-in fee.
Is that right on Von Harvey up here? By us?
We're going to the one on Mapleton.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, $7 drop-in fee, or I think $14 every 2 weeks. So, I mean, if she goes more than twice a week, it's better to pay for the bi-weekly. So, it was a good time this morning.
Nice.
Trying to get back in the swing of things and, try to, get rid of some of this flab.
I like it. So, our Masked Singer update. So Kitty was revealed, I think, or was it Mouse?
Mouse.
Yeah. Mouse was revealed as, Dionne Warwick,
mm-hmm.
who I kind of thought, like, as it kept going, there was only a few, like I said last week, there was a certain older style singer and I couldn't remember her name, but, what are your thoughts on the rest, the remaining four? So we're going to have one more elimination tonight. You got the Frog, Kitty, Taco, and Banana.
I'm thinking, the banana, I'm kind of leading towards, Brett Michaels.
We are very different on that
lead
one.
Singer of Poison.
Yep.
It's just a gut feeling. I think some of the judges will eventually, pick up on that and maybe throw his name in the hat. The Taco, I mean, we've been flipping back and forth. We think it's Bob Saget or Dave Coulier,
right.
or John Stamos. Another name that popped in my head a few days ago was the host of America's Funniest Home Videos, Tom Bergeron.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
I've heard that one.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. Other than that,
I've got, for the banana, I think it's Bill Engvall.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Like, blue collar, he doesn't have the body of, Larry the Cable Guy that the judges thought.
Mm-hmm.
But he also said something the very first when Nick Cannon was talking to him about, why'd you pick this? And he said, it was a sign from my son who was eating a banana, and he's got that famous, here's your sign thing. The Frog, I'm going to go with Kevin Hart. I thought last week, the way he was talking and stuff like that, I think it's Kevin Hart.
The Frog, I'm going with Bow Wow. Bow Wow Wow, yeah. Yippee Yo, yippee yay. Yeah. Where are my dogs at? Talk Bach with me now.
From the 90s fame of that and Little Mike, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my guess with the Frog. Now, who's the other one?
Kitty.
Kitty.
I got no. You said it was Kate Hudson.
I don't know. I'm.
I got
back
no
and
idea.
Forth here.
No, you said the mouse was Kitty because 1979.
1979. Yeah. So
I think the Kitty I went with Kristen Chenoweth. I don't know. I have no idea. That's the one that's got me completely stumped.
I was when I watched it last week. The voice, obviously, they do a very good job of hiding the voice.
Yeah.
But I find you kind of have that. I'm picking up on I can't remember her name, but she was the movie New Year's Eve with Bon Jovi. She was the backup singer for Bon Jovi. Lea Michele, is that her name?
From Glee.
Glee, and I'm thinking I want to say that's her name.
The lead from Glee was Lea Michele. Yeah.
No, not her.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. The wife told me this when I mentioned it to her last week. I can't remember the name now. New Year's Eve movie. heck was it? Sorry, guys. I'm missing a name here. Who am I? Who am I missing? Wow.
I can't think if I've saw that movie.
Is it Lea Michele?
Maybe. I don't think I've actually seen that movie, to be honest with you.
She was in... Yeah. Lea Michele.
Okay, yeah.
My bad, yeah. So that's who I'm kind of picking up on. Would... So we'll see.
It'll be interesting. Now, we talked about a little bit before we came on. I almost got hooked into Love is Blind on Netflix. We were looking for something last night because we ran out of our other show. If you have Amazon Prime and you see the promo for the show Hunters, it's 10 episodes. Get it. It's amazing. You'll be hooked. We finished it in 2 days. All of you, go watch Hunters right now. But yeah, we started with Love is Blind. Good Lord. I just about got hooked into it. And I think the reason I just about got hooked into it, more than getting hooked into the Bachelor, Bachelorette stuff, is because it happens live. It's not taped where they go on a date with this person, then they marry someone, and then they got to sit back for 3 months and watch this person go on every other date, kissing every other person in the show. So, but then it just got, we shut it off when Diamond, and I think his name is Carlton, were fighting about his secret life kind of thing. That's when we're just like, you know what? Nope, you almost got us. It's a great concept. It was a very cool concept.
Yeah, it's different. You know, basically you're in these pods, and you know, you're talking to somebody. You know, you're basically separated by a wall, and the goal is to you know fall in love with them without seeing them ever in person, and you're basically proposing to them without ever seeing them. So it is different. I got into it. I watched it a little bit. You know, those are the shows I like to watch for the drama. You know, Love is Blind and The Bachelor, even though Bachelor's, you know, getting good. you know, it's fun to kind of watch those shows. You know, I never, you know, 5 years ago, I never pictured myself as the kind of guy who would watch, you know,
5 episodes ago, I didn't picture you as the guy that would watch The Bachelor consistently every Monday. You come home, you come here on Tuesdays, you come upstairs after, and Layla's watching it because that's her time to watch it, and you already, like, I wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah, it's just a different, it's a different show, right? I'm big on reality TV shows.
Right.
Big Brother Canada starts on...
there it is, Professional Transition. Yeah. I went and looked it up. Big Brother Canada starts...
It's tonight, I think it is, March 4th.
Yep, tonight, yep.
Big Brother Canada, March 4th. So, yeah, pretty diverse lineup. It's not, you know, I don't say that based on, you know, age or, you know, it's very diverse, right? It's, you get like a lobster fisherman from PEI. You got a professional wrestler from Toronto. It's very, it's the diversity in Big Brother Canada is far better than the Big Brother US. So, I'm pretty hyped for that. Live feed started today. Haven't had a chance to check them out yet, but you know, I think if I get some free time over the next few days, I'll be tuning into those.
Do you have a favorite?
Just because it's, you know, the only Maritimer on the show, I got to go with I think her name's Sam. Sam the lobster fisherman from Mill River PEI. You know, just for the local aspect. You know, if not, you gotta go with a professional wrestler.
Is that Chris? I'm going to go with Chris Wiley. I don't watch show. I just went to all the contestants, and I randomly picked... nope. He's a brain formation specialist, whatever that there is. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Wiley.
Chris Wiley? So, the professional wrestler is Sheldon Jean, and the lobster fisherman from PEI is Vanessa Clements.
Okay.
So, I'm just, you know, I got to go with those two.
All right, yeah. Chris Wilde just looks like the type to scheme and all that stuff. But that has been your pop culture for the show. So don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook. Quick question. With the Wildcats clinching the division, and Axel was out last game against Rimouski, I want to get your thoughts on the old rust versus rest debate. We have no idea what his injury is, but he came back for one game, was out. This team, knock on wood, hopefully stays healthy going into the playoffs. And Chris mentioned it when he was on the show a couple weeks ago. We've had a recent history of injuries going into the playoffs. A, should you, would you shut down Axel till the playoffs? B, you know, with the Black Aces that we always talk about, you might get some younger guys that have the ability to get in lineup. Look, they set the franchise record for wins, points. They could get it. They could get the league record for points if they get at least a point for the next rest of the game. But should you rest top guys, top six guys, you know, give them some nights off as we get into the playoffs, so hopefully guys are rested and ready to go?
No, there's still so much to play for. You know, yeah, clinching the division is great. Again, yet another prediction I epically failed on.
hey, I got that one right.
You did get that one right. But I think right now their goal is the conference, right?
Right, because they can't fall any lower than second right now, yeah. If everything goes.
Yeah, and you know what? If I think they really need first in the conference, because I think the last thing they want right now is you know, a possible second round matchup with Rimouski. That's of course if you know, if they don't fall to fourth. I think they're in third right now. So that's, I think Cape Breton's got some games in hand on Rimouski right now. So that's something to keep an eye on. It's, you know, I think that would be a, you know, not a fantastic scenario for a second round matchup, but, I think winning the conference right now is what's, on their mind. You know, once that's clinched, you know, I can't see them catching Sherbrooke. So I gotta say, you know, get the conference and then maybe rest some guys. But you can't look at, you know, calling up players, because right now, you know, right around the corner is going to be the Junior A playoffs. Right now, the mid to Triple A playoffs are going on.
Right.
So you're pretty much stuck with what you got, right?
Yeah. And that's if guys are eliminated and you bring them up, getting them into matchups.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's that, right? But I mean, you know, if you're going to rest some guys, like right now, you got to look at, you know, getting the Jake Stewarts in the lineup, getting the Kyle Foremans in the lineup, those guys there. So, you know, if let's just get the conference first and then look at maybe resting some guys.
Yep. I think the most important guy you want to rest is the goaltender. The last 2 years they've had to get to a position and they've had to lean on, whether it's Grammett Bauer or, and even before my time, but Grammett Bauer and then LeClaire last year running him. So right now Rodriguez on pace, I think, to play the least amount of games he's ever played. You know,
which is fantastic.
Going to Team Canada and being the third and getting just practice and a lot of rest has really helped out with that least amount of games played. But you'll probably see DLC play, you know, when Chris was on the show, I said probably seven games, and I think he's played five already, and there's still eight games left in the season. So
yeah, they've really been using him, you know, very smart. And it's, you know, you really need a well-rested Rodriguez when you get into the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, you look at some of those goalies like Halavajaz.
We said another.
Wow. he's been playing a crap ton of minutes in Sherbrooke, and same with Iman and Ruin Aranda. And you had mentioned another goalie, I think, a few weeks ago that's played a ridiculous amount of minutes.
Yeah, I can't think of Shanks played a bunch.
Shanks played a bunch. Yeah, that's the name right there. So
Matty Welsh has played a bunch. Yeah. Like, they're going to need him down the stretch and into playoffs if they're going to get past either Rimouski or Cape Breton in that upset. So it's, you know, this is – Colton Ellis had the injury, so he's not up there in minutes. But this is what you want, is a veteran backup to come in and get wins to give our starter a night off. And that's the main rest versus rest, because if we clinch, let's just, you know, for argument's sake, we clinch everything by the final week of the season, do you give them the final weekend off?
You know, Rodriguez?
Yeah, you give them almost 2 weeks off.
I wouldn't, like, give them the whole weekend off.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I'd probably start, I would give Lund Cornish to start the, you know, last game of the season in Halifax. So, but
give Rodriguez Charlottetown so that he knows.
Yeah, give him, you know, that point right there. It's a week off, right?
Yeah.
So that's...
because if you give him both those games off, you know, his last game might be against St. John on March 15th, then he's almost got 10 days off. That's a lot of time off for a goaltender. Just quickly, for our hometown players, Havanoff was named forward of the month. 13 games, 10 goals, 18 assists for 28 points. Defenseman of the month in the queue was Jordan Spence. 13 games, 2 goals, 12 assists, 14 points. And goaltender of the month, Rodrigue, he was perfect. He was 8-0, 1.62 goals against average, two shutouts. So, you know, for all the criticism he got a little bit early, and he's showing why he stepped up for us big time. All right, let's go to our weekly rewind.
Weekly rewind.
I like your air guitar there. like I said, the Wildcats set two franchise records over the past week, 15 straight. They are now undefeated in regulation, going 20-0-1 in the last 21 games, bringing the record to 47-12-1 for 95 points, which gives us the Maritimes division and increases our lead in the East over the Saguenay by 7 points. Our first round matchup still remains Quebec, although if I look at the standings, I don't think they're close to catching Baie-Comeau. Oh, yeah, they're only 2 points high, behind. Yeah. So it's either Baie-Comeau or Quebec, but as it stands right now, it would be Quebec. You talked about it on Thursday, the four-point matchup. It was a big one. Wildcats got down 1-0 early. They came back to get a 4-2 victory. I thought they got better and better as the game went on. I won't say they started slow in that one, but I thought they handled themselves on the big ice very well. I completely forgot that Chicoutimi had that big ice. They're the only ones, aren't they?
They are the only rink in the queue, I believe, with the big ice.
Yeah. Wonder why that is.
Chicoutimi.
Yeah.
It's a dump. it's a legendary rink, but man, I think they need an upgrade.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Moncton really used their speed to their advantage in that game. Big ice. I mean, they were flying out there, and you know, it was Rodrigue's, you know, hometown game, and played really well. And you know, I can't think of how many games now in a row that they've, you know, they've allowed two goals or less. It's, you know, they're playing extremely well defensively right now. And you know what? That game was a little nerve wracking watching it. You know, I think I polished off a whole bottle of Pink Whitney. Just
hashtag
watching
not a big deal.
Yeah. Not a sponsor as well. So, yeah, it was a little nerve wracking, but, you know, we got through it, and it was a huge, that was a massive win. Because I mean, you look at it, he flipped the script, and Chicoutimi's maybe, what, maybe 5 points, 3 points,
5 points. Yeah.
5 points, you know, so it's huge. Like I think those are going to be big points down the stretch. And, you know, the fact that, you know, we also won the game here in Moncton, if it's, you know, comes down to a tiebreak, you get the tiebreak. So that's another huge factor too. The fact that, you know, if we happen to finish with the same amount of points, I'm pretty sure that's the first tiebreaker, right?
Yep.
Regulation wins and OT wins combined. So, that's, yeah, absolutely massive.
And yeah, we have that over. I think we have the season series against all four of the teams that we're chasing: Chicoutimi, Rimouski, and Cape Breton. And I do believe we have it over Charlottetown, and we have it over St. John. So that's, you know, we have it over everyone. I think the other, that 3-0 save was the game changer. I think it was
God,
two.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe 1-1 at the time he made that.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either when he actually made it. But I mean, if that goes in, you know,
it's
then
a different ball game.
We could have been in trouble. The other story out of that one, the Dawson Mercer injury, you know, that team's battled a lot. I think you've mentioned they got a defenseman. Patty Kite was close to coming back. You know, for a top-end team, it's a good thing they added, because they're dealing with the injury bug, and he's only out 10 days and they reevaluate. They won't say what it is, obviously. But
man, that looks bad. His innocent play.
Completely.
It was – I had to laugh, though, because – excuse me, fans were booing because there was no penalty on the play. Pardon
Bless
me.
Bless you.
And then the play goes down the other way, and I think, I'm not sure, one of their players was threw a hissy fit at the ref for not calling anything, and I think they, once they saw the replay, I think they kind of oops.
Yeah.
But yeah, it literally looked like his hand was just, you know, not even attached. For them to say, you know, 10 days and then reevaluate, I mean, that looks like a serious, it looks serious.
Well, he's not on our team. I think it was a shoulder, the way he reached out and his arm just kind of dropped. You said it might have been a wrist.
I think it. I thought
I
it
saw
was
one
a
comment
wrist.
That was like, it's got to be something with his neck. You could see him reach up. It's like he was undoing his bird cage to get his helmet off.
Weird. It was just super weird. But he's a great player, so you just hope he can he gets back soon and he really helps our lineup. I mean, he was a huge acquisition. They paid a lot for him, so it would suck for Scudamy to lose a player like that down the stretch and into the playoffs.
And then Friday night in Baie-Comeau, 9 goals were scored. 9 goals by Wildcat players. Just 8 of them were current, and 1 was a former Wildcat. 15 seconds in, Jaguar scored. Probably not the start you want. I think it was kind of a misplay.
It was a broken play.
Broken play, bang, bang. It was DLC had no chance on it. And
I
then,
had no idea where you were going with that opening. What? 9 goals. It was 8-1.
Yeah. And then our defense led the charge. Anderson, who made his return, to Young, Stewart, I can't remember which one of them was. I think it was Stewart, just a weird goal where he just kind of flipped it towards the net and it went in.
The sniper.
Yeah. He'll tell his grandkids he went end-to-end and sniped it top shelf. I won't lie, I felt bad for their 16-year-old goaltender. Shishtorgan? What is his name?
Shingarov.
Like, that's to face this lineup as a 16-year-old when it's already 5-1. That was just, it was Fortier's return. I don't know what you want to, there's not much to talk about when a team absolutely destroys them 8-1.
Well, I mean, getting to the goalie, he's their goalie of the future. So he's going to, this was.
Daniel Moody is the backup that's out right now with something.
Yeah. What's the expression? Is it baptism by fire or with fire? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was, a test and, he made some saves, right? It's, he did everything he could, but, I was a little concerned about this game because, the last time we faced Baie-Comeau was the last time the Wildcats lost and they were all over Moncton.
Yeah. Lost in regulation. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was a little concerned about this game and, but I was happy that they,
especially considering it was between Chicoutimi and Rimouski, right?
Yeah. This road trip is so weird because the rinks are so, it's probably three of the more, intimidating rinks in the league because literally the fans are just right on top of you.
Yeah. Those old school benches on opposite side type rinks.
It wasn't close. This game was absolutely out of control or it was over. Right, they just took full control, and they kind of let that early goal get behind them, and just played their game the rest of the way.
It's kind of like they were mad, like, nope, that's it, we're done. Is Baie-Comeau's rink small? Like the ice surface, is everyone a smaller ice surface, or is it the same size?
Just the camera,
just the camera angle. Because it very much looking from Chicoutimi's to Baie-Comeau back to back nights. I'm like, is that a regular size arena? Like, I don't know. I also kind of feel bad for Legere. It's got to be a tough situation to stay in. I don't know why they didn't move him, whether he didn't want to move or, they wanted to keep something for the fans to keep coming out after the trade deadline, but you just kind of feel bad for the guy.
He's going to fetch a nice return next year, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's, that 0-1 group, that's there's going to be a lot of movement. There's going to be a lot of players in that 0-1 group that get moved. Either at the draft or Christmas next year. That's a solid group.
Yeah.
You got to look at what Sherbrooke's got building. Sam Poulin can come back next year. So, Sherbrooke's going to be another team to look out for they're going to be strong this year. They're going to be strong next year. So, they're going to be they weren't as aggressive this year, but I think they're going to be all in next year. It's going to be they're going to be a team to watch, and I think Legare would be a good landing spot
fit
for
there.
Yeah. Can you imagine, Perron, Poulin, and Legare on a line?
Nope. Let's,
good luck.
Let's hope we get both of those games against them early in the year when we still have some players left and not after the Christmas deadline. And then, 11 days in between games, it didn't take long for these teams to add fuel to the old fire if there's a playoff matchup. This one didn't disappoint. It was a comeback weekend for the Wildcats. They withstood an early Lafreniere goal. Again, D-man leading the offense as McIsaac had two absolute beauty snipes. I think his second one was better than his first one. leading to the 3-1 victory. These teams don't like each other. This is one of the better rivalries in the past, well, since I've been here.
Yeah, these are going to be feisty games. I really hope these two teams meet in the playoffs. It would be, if my prediction says that they will. So, it's going to be incredible to watch these two teams play again. Lafreniere is, when I first saw that goal, I thought it was weak, right? But the more I look at it, that's just a wicked shot.
Yep. Pro release, if you will.
And that was, when I first saw it, I was like, ugh, geez, that's a rough one on Rodrigue. And, that was all skill, pure snipe. And, but at that point it was, they started spinning the tires, right? They got playing. And,
yeah.
One thing I've noticed about, playing against Rimouski is that Moncton dominates 5-on-5. So these games, it was almost the same situation as the game at Moncton, right? They got down 1-0 because of penalty trouble, and then they kind of took over the game 5-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like the same, the same vibe, right? It was the same kind of feel of the game. Those two shots by McIsaac, he wasn't brought in for his offense. He's more of a defensive guy, but he can pinch in, and he proved that. He's going to be another, very important piece down the stretch.
And this was a game just like in the playoffs. Moncton didn't have last change, so you didn't see as much McIsaac on Lafreniere. I think we tried to keep Guru on it as much as possible, and it makes a big difference. He does not like being shadowed or played hard against. Mm-hmm. He just wants to float. It looked really bad on the first goal. He's just kind of floating. When McIsaac goes around Zav Grodny, not to burst your bubble, but there is actually a way that Moncton doesn't play Rimouski in the playoffs at all.
Is that right, eh?
Yep. If all top four seeds, if everything finished and all top four seeds advance to the second round, Chicoutimi plays Rimouski. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the third round, if Rimouski was able to beat them, the top four. Oh, no. If Rimouski beats Chicoutimi, they play the third round.
Yep.
My bad. Oh, goody. That's people probably want to get our thoughts on the attempted murder by Lafreniere on Hovanov, depending who you talk to. Look, I had a Rimouski fan on Twitter. There was a couple of them with the zero followers and 10 following people and that I really didn't get into it with. But I had one that made some good points. I mean, she showed the McIsaac on Lafreniere. She showed the Hovanov whack on Lafreniere's stick when he had the puck and hadn't made a play yet. We've seen it before from him. He plays on that edge, but he knows he can get away with things because he's the quote-unquote golden boy, the Quebec kid that could go first overall. He missed I can't remember what he got for Charlottetown. I think he got 3 games for that. He's avoided a few things. A lot's been said about Hovanov, whether he got actually hit in the hand. People were saying he got hit in the stick and dropped to try and, the old Russian cry wolf thing. I think he got hit in the hand. I don't think he would do that with 30 seconds left and drop like that. But we're obviously going to defend our guy. If the roles were reversed and it was Hovanov or it was somebody else that did that to Lafreniere, whether he hit the stick or hit the fingers, that he'd be suspended. And, you had said no injury, no suspension. It's pretty simple. You had thought maybe 1 game because Rimouski plays at home, they're not going to suspend him for a road game because he is the draw in the QMJHL right now. He keeps avoiding it, and you have to hold your stars accountable in this league, in any league, really.
Yeah, when I first saw it, it looked, it looked vicious, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a game speed, but as the days have passed and it slows down a little more, you do see, he actually slashed his stick. I'm not. You said we're going to, defend our players. Sure, I'll defend our players. But to me, in my opinion, this was 90% embellishment, 10%, trying to get a penalty. There was, if you get your stick slashed like that, you shouldn't be falling, you know, like a sack of potatoes. So
he did drop for a hand, whether he hit the hand or not. Most guys just like shake it off and go to the bench. Yeah. They don't.
But Ivanov has a reputation around this league, and that, you know, he's been known to drop pretty easily. So, you know, if that's another reason probably why, you know, I think it was, you know, I don't understand why he would fall like that, especially when there's 10 seconds left in the game. Like, what's that going to accomplish? Like, you're up 3-1.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get a power play going into overtime or anything like that. But at the same time, you know, this doesn't happen if Jeremy McKenna hits the open net, right?
It's very true.
So
twice,
right? He had two opportunities to hit an open net, didn't hit it. So,
yeah.
You know, this could have been avoided, right? But it's, you know, that's not a, you know, a poke at McKenna or anything like that. I probably couldn't hit an open net with a beach ball, for crying out loud.
I was standing on top of the crease.
Yeah. So, you know, it could have been avoided. I think he was embellishing, but I also think Lafreniere needs to, you know, chill a little bit because, yeah, you know,
this crap won't happen when he goes to the next level.
I was going to say this word. So, that's not going to pass in the NHL. He does that in the NHL, he's going to get punched in the face. Yeah.
Cause we've seen that with Crosby. When he first came in the league, he was the biggest whiner. Some say he still is a big whiner, but he didn't want to be touched. He, when he got to the next level, he had to learn to play through a lot of the junk.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, he just can't keep doing this. No, it's not going to hurt his draft position. He's going to go first overall. But you know what? I think I said this a few weeks ago that Lafreniere's been trying to show a difference out of his game. I think he's, you know, last year he won CHL Player of the Year. He's going to get it again.
Yep.
It's
going to be MVP again.
I think he's just trying to show a different side of his game, right? He's just trying to show that he can play physical. He can be feisty. He can, you know, play on the edge a little bit. But he also has to learn not to cross the edge because eventually he's going to get, you know, suspended for, you know, for doing something stupid.
Yep.
He already has a season, and you know, if he like I said earlier, if he does this in the NHL, he's gonna get his face punched in.
Yeah. So because they're allowed to fight up there.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if he ends up, you know, in the NHL, and I'm sure he will, and he, you know, he pulls stunts stuff like that, he's gonna, you know, he's gotta defend himself. You know, if he starts to turtle, and he's going to get a bad rep, and that's not a good thing when you're a generational player, is what they're calling him. You know, they only come around every 10 years, right? And he's a generational player. You can't be pulling stunts like that.
Veteran crew that did the game. I thought the refs handled
Loved it.
I thought they handled it perfectly.
Four maritime guys.
Yeah, they called crap that needed to be called. They let the little things go that... Man, it is amazing when you watch a game in Rimouski when they get touched. The fans don't like it.
Yeah.
They think everything is
like
a penalty.
It's like that everywhere in Quebec. Like it's
yeah.
That's just the way they're. It's very passionate. Like these are small towns. They're passionate about hockey, and they're just, you know, they love their players. They love their game. They love the sport. Yep. You know, if junior hockey didn't exist in markets like Baie-Comeau or Rimouski or small markets like that, what would these people have to do in the summer, in the wintertime?
Yeah.
Right. There's, this is literally their pastime.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they probably literally come out of a rink, and the first thing they do when they come out of a rink is look at the calendar, see when the next game is, because, you know, like I've never been to Rimouski. I've never been to Baie-Comeau, but you know,
I'm surprised by that.
Rimouski from what I hear is a beautiful, beautiful area. Baie-Comeau I've never been to, but I mean, you gotta assume there can't be much to do over down there. Like it's
no, I wouldn't think.
Like I've done some research, and I think there's a bowling alley in Rimouski, and I think there's like a dart club in Baie-Comeau. That's literally the only, things I've found. And it's so that's what I mean. Like these are very passionate fans. They love their hockey and they know their hockey. But yeah, that's just part of it. They're gonna boo and they're gonna yell and they're gonna, you know, blow their air horns anytime they get and.
It's a fun atmosphere to watch. I'd love
to
go.
Just the way they are, and you got to look. You have to learn to live with it because you know they're not going to change.
Nope. I would very much like to go if these two teams meet in the playoffs. I think that would be a very fun series to follow at each individual rink because I don't see it being done quickly. Mm. But we digress. We move on to this week. One last road game on this trip. Against Bathurst. I'm a little bit worried about this one. And the reason is November 8th of this year. It was an 8-game winning streak. Nobody wanted to be the first team to lose in Bathurst. They came to play. They got that one, you know, whatever cliche you want to use on any given night. That's why they play the game, this and that. This could be the one stumbling block just like it was early in November. I don't actually think it will. I think Moncton will dominate it, but I think this could be one that of the streak breaker, if you will.
Sure. if you want to put it that way, I mean, yeah, Bathurst is capable of, you know, they went on a road trip last weekend and got something like 6 out of 8 points or something like that. Yeah. So they did 3 or 4. You know, they're playing well, right? Because they got nothing to play for right now. They're still not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. They would literally need to win out.
Which would just be a great story of them win out and get that last spot.
Halifax would have to lose every game. Gatineau would have to lose every game.
And it's funny you say that because it literally, I don't know which team doesn't want to make the playoffs and play Sherbrooke because Halifax is 0-5-0-1 they're 1-8-1 in their past 10, and Gatineau is 2-7-1. Like, they're both like, nope. Neither of you want to play Sherbrooke? I mean, I wouldn't if I was them, but...
Oh, no, it's...
It's just funny they keep, like you say, that they have to lose every game, and mm-hmm. they're kind of playing almost like it's scheduling, too, but it's just funny to see.
They have nothing... Like I said, they have nothing to play for.
Yeah.
So I expect, a solid effort from Bathurst, but, you know, I'm also expecting, you know, if Moncton plays the way they did against Chicoutimi, against Bay Como, against Rimouski, this game shouldn't be close.
Nope.
And, you know, maybe we bite our, you know, maybe we're going to, you know, take some heat for what we said because, you know, we don't like to, you know, predict games anymore because of what's happened in the past.
Got us in trouble.
It's, you know, these are the games that should be must wins. And if it's, you know, if there's trouble up there, you know, it's concerning, right? And I think that's when, you know, Dan LaCroix won't accept something like that. That's, you know, they'd be in for a butt kicking if they if they don't perform like they should against Bathurst.
Yeah, and then this weekend, you've got Quebec and Drummondville back-to-back. Last time we saw the Volts, it was during the coaching issue, escapade, whatever you want to call it. But Drummondville's been a surprise all season. They can push the Wildcats. Even now, after moving on from Mercer and some of their other players, they continue to just stay afloat, keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Ramparts, we saw them on the back of 3-3. They're most likely our first matchup, so this one should be... I mean, they could push Moncton. They did it. Moncton eventually took over. But, I mean, these two games are going to be tests again. Like, they don't exactly have a cakewalk schedule.
No, right? They don't. You know, none of these schedules should be cakewalks, but, you know, you've got to think that, you know, a game against Bathurst should be 2 points. A game against mm-hmm. Quebec should be 2 points. A game against Drummondville should be 2 points. Like, I mean, they should be able to get 6 points here, but they have to play. Like, they have to show up, right? They can't be, you know, they can't be taking 5 minutes off because at that point you have a game like they did in Bay Como when Bay Como was in town. Right, and literally just silence the whole arena because I think nobody was expecting that.
No, we were all in shock.
And that's the beautiful thing about junior hockey is that, you know, any team can beat any team on any given night. And that's why, you know, these games are critical down the stretch because nothing's clinched, right? We got the division, but you want the highest seed possible.
Yep.
So these games are important.
Just trying to see what Chicoutimi's schedule is because you want to keep winning because they've – So they've got Blainville, Rimouski, Bay Como, Victoriaville, So they've got a, after Rimouski, they've got a pretty, I mean, they're in their division, so they're kind of playing the same as we are. So those are winnable games for them to walk, you know, to go undefeated for the rest of the year. Maybe they lose to Rimouski. So you have to keep, you know, you can't rest on, we got the division, we can't finish worse than second. You know, let's just play not to be injured, because that's when things happen. I think of those two on the weekend, I think the Drummondville game will be a little bit closer than the Quebec one. I think I like Drummondville's team just a little bit better.
Yeah.
Maroney's, you know, he can steal a game if he needs to.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think where is Drummondville, are they, I'm assuming they're on a maritime road trip. Are they going to be on like a back-to-back, or are they going to be on a 3-3, or
what's their status?
What's their scenario going on?
So they have,
they're Bathurst on the 6th. Yeah, so they're going to be in a 3-3 in Moncton. So they got Bathurst, they got St. John, they got Moncton at 4 o'clock. So, I mean,
maybe not.
That's going to be, you know, a 3-3 with a quick turnaround from Saturday night. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, it depends on how they come out, but they've got a Xavier Simoneau who's, you know, not having who's having a pretty good year for you know. So it's I'm not gonna put anything past Drummondville. They could come in and surprise. So it's gonna be a fun weekend.
At some point, this team's going to have a slip up, right?
Craig Eagle said it himself. He said there's going to be a bad game.
Yeah, he maybe thought Baie-Comeau, which made a lot of sense. Shikudimi Rimouski.
I thought it was the fact that he put out that article on the day of the Baie-Comeau game. I thought it was going to be a jinx.
Yeah.
So.
But you like I was saying to you the other day, the record for most games with longest point streak is Rimouski in 04-05 with 28.
Mm-hmm.
We're now at 21. If we get a point for the rest of the year, we're gonna set that record. But I'm okay to lose, you know, one or two games down the stretch, because I'd rather do that than, you know, maybe it happens in the playoffs and I wouldn't say the team spiraled, because they've only lost two in a row once all season, and that was during the coaching escapade. But you don't want that stuff to spiral in the playoffs, right? So it's better to take an L now than in, well, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you got that right. I mean.
And I don't want to predict which one it is. I mean, I did predict Rimouski and Charlottetown. But, you know, at some point, I would rather see this team lose in the next eight games than run the table. And
so what's the magic number for the conference anyway? Have we figured that out?
Well, I thought I figured it out for the other one, but nope.
So right now Moncton's max is the maximum number of points that Chicoutimi can get, because they have nine games left. My math is terrible. What's 88 plus 18?
I don't know for all those.
88 plus 18.
Remember kindergarten or grade 4 teacher when you said you wouldn't have a calculator your whole life? I'll show you.
Well, I got it here. 88 plus 18.
106.
106. Really?
Minus 95. 106? Yeah. Is 11 points.
So Moncton gets 11 points in the next eight games to clinch the East. Yeah. So, I mean,
theoretically, they could have it clinched by the St. John Halifax weekend, next weekend if Chicoutimi loses and Moncton wins,
mm-hmm.
right? So, because it's basically six wins.
So, yeah, there we go. So, I mean, it looks good. It looks promising. Yeah. They just got to keep winning. They got to keep playing. None of this, take 5 minutes off and, to rest your feet or, smell the roses. You know, get out there and play 60 minutes and, you know, play your victory song, whatever song it is in the locker room, and have a good time.
Wish I knew what it is. I think the Cape Breton game, which we're going to get into next week, is going to be the I'm excited for that one. So, did you just Kobe that?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
I'm playing with something.
All right, well.
Whatever it is.
Fans' favorite time of the show.
We here already?
Eric Murray Realty. Buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
Well, folks, we're at that time of the show. Two gold medals, one bronze medal, and four fourth place finishes This week's stick tap goes to J-Bone himself.
Nice.
Jonathan Henry. Incredible performance at the, you know, the Special Olympics, Canada Winter Games. Two gold medals, one bronze, and a fourth place finish in four events. Extremely well done to J-Bone. And, yeah, I know Mr. Henry is, you know, very proud, and everybody's very proud. And, you know, I think I might have given this to you last. I don't know if there's a – something tells me I gave him one last year too. Was there some? Was there an event that he actually
No, I think it was
crushed?
This year when he became when he went into the Hall of Fame.
Right, yeah.
Which, so, all of his medals, if you haven't had a chance to check it out at the Avenir Center, it is down in the Hall of Fame section.
Really?
It's, yeah, it's pretty pretty unbelievable.
Crushed it. Good work, Jonathan. Keep it up, man.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
And that brings us to the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week. It's Jared McIsaac. I mean, steady minute eating D-man. He was brought in for this, not only for like their matchup against Rimouski 2 weeks ago. He did it again this one. He's playing a lot of the big lines. With, you know, versus the Sags and the Oceanic. He was the driving force in the comeback with two goals against Rimouski. He had two goals, two assists in three games, was a plus five. He was also named a Team QMJHL this week. So your Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week is Jared McIsaac. So I put it out on Instagram asking for your guys's. We like to do some fan interaction every now and then. We can't interact with you right now. I mean, we could, but we got a show to do. So I asked top three of anything, and people could ask. So we got nine, so we'll just go through some of these here. Our good friend Jake, hockey hat guy, Murph Dog 73, MW Edits, It's Just Julie Taylor. They asked for our top three favorite Wildcats.
Of all time?
No. Of now.
I
mean, you can go all time if you want.
Jacob Pelche.
Second that.
Gabriel Forche and Tristan DeYoung.
I'm going to go Pelche, Havanoff, and Sean Stewart.
I think the fact that I didn't include Havanoff in mine would be maybe rewind the show about 15 minutes. You'll know why.
What are your favorite three all time?
Three all time?
Yeah.
Got to go with obviously Connor Garland. Brandon Gormley and Barbashev.
Nice. Braden, the Wildcats updaters, he wants to know our top three MLB teams.
Houston Astros.
if you didn't say it, I was going to.
Houston Astros, Toronto Blue Jays, and I don't have a third team, but I'll have to go with the San Francisco Giants.
Nice. Atlanta Braves. I'd like to be the Florida Marlins in the video game, like to build them up.
The Miami Marlins?
Whatever they're called. Yeah, Miami Marlins, Florida Marlins. And third team?
Houston Astros.
No, just because I have their old retro jersey, I'll probably say Seattle. Gabe Arsenault, 2004. Favorite NHL players?
Favorite NHL players?
I'll go with McDavid, Fleury, and probably Drysdale.
Homer.
Yeah.
Three favorite NHL players.
Right now, yeah, those are my three favorite going.
Connor Garland.
Yeah.
Connor Garland. Man, I don't have favorite NHL players. That's the thing. Like, Connor Garland, I'll just go. Brad Marchand and Keith Yandel. I don't know. I'm just going all Wildcats. No idea.
All right. Well, that makes.
I don't watch NHL. I don't watch NHL games for players. I watch it, you know, for the game. So.
All right. That makes the last question tough, but we'll come to that. Jada Spam. This one's going to be for you. Three most memorable Wildcat moments.
Ooh.
I mean, I guess for me, it'd be beating Rimouski in game 7, my first game here against Blainville, and probably the Rimouski game here with Pelche, where we got that game. Mm-hmm. He got the game overtime winner. I think those would be my three of my 2 year stint here.
My three favorite moments. Sadly, one of the best moments that, you know, was when Moncton ended that 23 game losing streak. It's, you know, in 2016, 2017, when it was like, they had like a 2-goal lead with like a minute left, and then Sherbrooke pulled their goalie and tied it, you know, scored 2 goals to tie it. And then, you know, Julien Tessier wins it with like 18 seconds left. That was the craziest last 2 minutes of a hockey game in, you know, I've ever witnessed. So, I mean, sadly, that's one of the one memorable moment. Another one probably be, you know, just being inside the Coliseum when Moncton won the President's Cup in 2010. And then I think just the overall, and then when, you know, when Connor Garland, you know, passed Roger for the all-time leading point scorer, that was probably one of my, up there in terms of probably my third, yeah.
Conn McDavid, 97, and spooky Mr. Snaps. Top three favorite QMJHL teams.
Jesus. I know. Why can't they ask us our top three bachelor contestants?
Or top three foods or whatever, yeah.
My top three QMJHL teams, obviously Moncton's number one. I'm a big Ruan Aranda fan, just because what happened last year. And I'm also a big fan of – who do I like to see win? I like to see Charlottetown win. Those probably my top three, just because I want Charlottetown to win some year.
Yeah, mine would be probably Charlottetown. I like Shawinigan, which I thought you would say because you went to the Memorial Cup. I thought maybe you were gonna say Shawinigan.
Yeah.
That's solely based on their jerseys and the bright yellow. I think that's a wicked concept. And then the other one, I guess Quebec, because I've been to the rink. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Orange_Giraffe. You don't have to go with three if you don't want to. Game day experiences at the Avenir Center. Like what that you would pick, or enhance the games with. I guess I should look.
Enhance.
At. Yeah, like what would you want?
Enhance. God love you, JR, but bring back what's his face from last year, Brian. Is his name Brian?
Yes.
Bring him back.
He
did a phenomenal job. In game experience, jeez, I think that's really the only thing I would change. Maybe lower the beer cost a little bit, but atmosphere, you know, experience would be, you know, get Brian back behind the mic.
Yeah, yeah, that would be my first one, is get him doing the intros, because literally he got everyone standing up. It was pretty good. If you've ever watched a San Jose game, they walk the players out on the actual screen. I think Moncton should do that from the minute they walk out of those doors. Have them walk by on that screen and then follow the last guy out. You know, they used to have a guy on the ice with the camera. I don't know why they shouldn't. I think that would just enhance the already good intro. I mean, I want chocolate bars back. It's a small thing, but sometimes I don't want a hot dog. Sometimes I don't like popcorn. I just want a chocolate bar at the game. They had them. I mean, if you're going to bring them back, don't just bring back the two kinds of Snickers. Go to Costco and get Kit Kat, Arrow. You know, give the people some choices. I can't remember what rink it was. I think it was Shikudimi that did the air guitar in the break. Instead of the fan cam, they did the air guitar where people actually got up and played. I thought that was kind of cool, but I do think that because of the rink we're in, people would just stare at the thing and listen to the song that's on instead of actually getting up and playing the air guitar. The last one, which should be a fun one for you, your top three current NHL defensemen.
My God.
I think next time I do this, I'm going to say non-hockey related questions.
It's Cale Makar. Like, it's Cale Makar, Sam Girard, like two defensemen from Colorado are right up there. And holy smokes. I don't want to pick Calgary because, you know, it's being a homer here, but
it's okay to be a homer. I did at times too.
Third. I have no idea, man. Kale McCarr, Sam Girard, obviously Giordano. So those are my three. I gotta go Calgary.
Yep. I like Kale McCarr. Provorov in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And who's the other one? Ekblad down in Florida. I like those three. That was fun. That's the end of our show. Next time we do that, we'll say food questions, pop culture questions, you know, keep it to things where we don't have to think. They just come off the top of our head. So thanks again for listening, joining us on Facebook sideways. I'll try to figure out different camera angles so that it's not sideways next time. We've had some success with the trivia. Everyone likes it. So Carly Jane Holloway from Facebook was the winner of the game this Saturday versus Quebec. So let's give away tickets to March 8th game versus Drummondville. Mr. Boucher, your question.
The question for this week, ladies and gentlemen, is, if you're watching at home, please don't answer.
Yeah, don't answer on Facebook.
So obviously we saw Moncton extend their winning streak to 15 games with their win against Rimouski. In the 2005 they had their last winning streak?
Yes.
Yeah, so 2005-2006 season, they had a 14-game winning streak. I want to know which team did they lose to end that 14-game winning streak. So who did the Wildcats lose to in 2005-2006 to end their 14-game winning streak? That is your question. Have your answers to the hoster with the moster, the hoster with the toaster.
how many holsters can you ride?
Yeah, by
game time Saturday.
Game time Saturday, 7 p.m. 7-1, we'll have to see if we like you.
So that's it as well. March 11th, we're going to have tickets to give away for that one. I think we might have tickets to give away for March 13th against Halifax. We can't redeem anymore, so we don't have any tickets for the final home game. But if you don't win the tickets on March 11th for Cape Breton, it is student night. Use the promo code WILDSTUDENT. You can get your $10 tickets. Your playoff packages, if you've bought them, that's smart. If you haven't, I don't know what you're waiting for. I believe you can pick them up March 12th. I'm not sure what time, but I'm assuming if it's like last year, it'll be at door 5 sometime throughout the day on March 12th. So if you haven't bought them, get them. I don't know what you're waiting for. That's it for us. See you next Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.